For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, tonight's shiur, a little disclaimer. This is all based on the Torah of the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Yaakov Goldwacht, as we've been learning, except for the very, very last piece, which we'll say over again when we get there.
You want me to sit over there?
No, you sit right there, it's fine. Okay. Okay, let's talk about very perplexing measures. The Torah describes this week's parashah. We have the famous sale of Yosef, the brothers. Re'yehuda begins, Ma'betza ki naharoges achinu v'chisinu estamo. What benefit do we have for killing our brother and covering up his blood? Instead, l'chuvenim k'reno lishmeilim, let's sell him instead and not have our hands be upon him. He's our brother. The brothers all listen to him. Pasuk chav ches v'yavru anashim midyanim secharim. These midyanim came by, these merchants, so they pulled him up, they took him out of the pit, and the Torah tells us they sold him, and the Torah decides to tell us how much money he was sold for, as if that's a relevant piece of information. Not just that he was sold, it was 20 kosef, 20 silver pieces, whatever exactly that would be. And they took Yosef, these Yishmaelim, these Socharim, these Midyanim. There's much to describe, but not for us tonight. The Torah uses many different terms to describe who these people are who were traveling. They bring him down to Mitzrayim after the sale of 20 dollars, let's call it, in our modern terms. Medrash says as follows. This will be our Medrash for the night from Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Medrash begins with a pasuk in Amos, Koy Amar Hashem al Shlosha Pishei Yisrael. On three sins of the Jewish people, I'll be willing to forgive. But on the fourth, on that one, I will not forgive. And the pasuk then continues, Al Michram Bakesef Tzadik, on the fact that you sold a righteous person for money. Ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim. And a poor person you sold for shoes. So says the pasuk in Amos. The Medrash then comments, who is that a reference to, this idea that you sold a poor person for shoes? Medrash says, that's our story. Umachru osola Yishmaelim be'esrim kasef. They sold Yosef down to the Yishmaelim for 20 pieces of silver. V'kol echad ve'echad notol shnei ksafim, and then each one of the brothers took two pieces of silver, liknos na'alayim liraglehem, to buy shoes for their feet. So says the Medrash. Some Midrashim are perplexing in that you can't make heads or tails of them. They're like fanciful stories or difficult. This Medrash is simple to understand. They sold Yosef and they bought shoes. What? The Chazal attached this pasuk in almost that I can never forgive you because you sold this poor person for shoes. It's Yosef, 10 brothers, 20 pieces of silver, $2 per brother. Let's buy shoes. They didn't have shoes before. They suddenly needed shoes when they sold Yosef. Chazal need to tell us this. What shaychus to the sale of Yosef to the shoes that the brothers bought with the money? That's the problem.
And that's just the Midrash, that they bought shoes.
Correct.
Right.
In other words, there's a pasuk in Amos which describes a sin of Klal Yisrael selling a poor person for shoes. That's the pasuk the Navi says. Chazal say, that's Yosef, 20 silver pieces, 2 pieces per brother, everybody, let's head out to Target with our $2 to buy shoes. Maybe they even went to Nordstrom's.
Walmart.
I don't
they
know. Walmart, who knows? Who knows?
Is that the pshat in Amos that it's talking about?
I don't know. Okay, I guess if you look at the Mefarshim, maybe. Probably the Mefarshim would bring this Medrash. I don't know if that's Pasha Pshat. This has been memorialized in our Sarah Haruge Malchus story that we read on Yom Kippur, in which the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Tanaim at the times, are said, you're going to have to repay the sin of your forefathers who sold their brother for shoes. And where did that come from, that's part of our liturgy? It's from this Medrash, who connects the 20 kesef to the sale of shoes. What in the world, what's the shaychus of shoes? What? Okay. There's another medrash, this week's parsha. When Yosef gets himself into trouble in the beginning of the parsha, he starts telling over his dreams. Vayomer aleihem shimuna hachalom azeh asher chalamti. Listen up, he says, source number one. Let me tell you my dream that I had. Vihine anachnu ma'almim alumim b'seicha sadeh. We were bundling up sheaves in the middle of the field. Vihine kom alum osi v'gam nitzav. And my sheave stood up and remained standing. And then your sheaves surrounded mine. They all came around mine and bowed down to my sheaf. That's the dream, the first dream of Yosef that he shares. And the Medrash here picks up on the language of kama alumosi, my sheaves stood, which come from a lesson of kayim, to be able to maintain itself or endure, and the lesson of the language, the lesson of tisubena, that your sheaves surrounded mine, which also is rooted in the word subin, which means to become decayed or to spoil. And the Medrash says that Yosef said to his brothers, "Atem konsin peros, vani kones peros. You bring in fruits, and I bring in fruits." Shalachem markivim, your fruits are tisubena, are subin, they rot, they spoil. Vishali omdin, and my fruits stay, they endure, they remain. Also, so you have Yosef is telling over his dream about sheaves, and Chazal see in here another message, that everybody's bringing in fruits. Where are we bringing in fruits from? Somewhere. But everybody's bringing in fruits. Everybody's bringing in produce. And your produce, it rots and it spoils. And my produce, it's here to stay. The Rosh Yeshiva saw in this part three of our discussion. If you've missed the first two parts, we'll do it quickly right now. Not last week's, but the 2 weeks prior to that, we described the following concept. There are two types of avoda, two types of service that a Jew does for the Ribono Shel Olam. One is referred to as avodas pnim, the inner chamber type of avoda, which we would define as it looks holy, it is holy, both in goal and in mechanism to get there. It's the Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the sacrifices, it's the Korbanos. It's the learning of Torah in the Beis HaMedrash. It's tefillah, it's davening in shul. Intrinsically spiritual, holy endeavors. And then there's what's referred to as the Avodas Chutz, the outer service, which is done outside the walls of the Beis HaMedrash, but partners together in order to make everything possible inside the Beis HaMedrash. Somebody has to chop the wood for the Korbanos. So somebody's out there with an axe in their hand, in the field, listening to their iPod, some shear for sure, while they're chopping wood. What are they doing? It doesn't look holy. But it is. Somebody has to be an executive director and make sure that there's money to keep the lights on in the Beis HaMedrash so that the Rosh Yeshiva can teach his Torah. And he's out there working with the politicians, and he's building buildings, and he's raising funds, and he's doing all sorts of stuff that don't intrinsically look holy, but they are partnered with that. And those two things go together. The goal, of course, is that which takes place in the Beis HaMedrash, but that Beis HaMedrash needs partnership with the Avodas Chutz. And this was developed, Yaakov and Esav. Yitzhak, their father, saw in the twins both would be part of Klal Yisrael. Esav was an Ish HaSadeh, the man of the field, a man who knew how to roll up his sleeves, a man who knew how to work, get things done. And Yaakov was an Ish Tam Yoshev Olam, he knew how to sit and learn. And together there was going to be this beautiful union. Esav ops out. Yaakov steals his bracha, dresses up as Esav, says, I can play the part of an Esav, I can be deceiving, I can be conniving, I know how to work the world, work the system. And the bracha that he takes is Esav's bracha of prosperity, of the ability to have the fat of the earth and the dew of the heavens. You're also going to do this. Leah and Rachel, Leah's crying because she was thinking she was going to be part of Klal Yisrael, she was going to be the zug of Esav. Esav opts out, and now what's left for me? And so when she gets put in place of Rachel, and Yaakov says to her, this is a quick review of the many minutes that we spent together. Yaakov says, you are a deceiver, the daughter of a deceiver. Who are you? What are you doing? And she says, I learned this from you. Yaakov says, didn't I call all night long, Rachel, Rachel, and you answered? And she says, didn't your father say Esav? And you said, uh-huh. And what we learned 2 weeks ago was she took over Esav's role when Yaakov did. Yaakov said, I'm going to do both. I'm now going to have my primary avoda, which is in the Beis HaMedrash, and I also have to do Esav's job. It's now not going to be through the two lines. It's only going to come through me, and then through me it's going to be everything. And then Leah says, well, it's a package deal. When you took Esav's role, you also took me. And then the chiddush that we learned last week, 2 weeks ago, was, and whose children do, what does Leah have for children? She ends up the first wife. And when she became the first wife, she took that role. She ends up with the Bechor Reuven. She ends up with the Kahuna in Levi. She ends up with Malchus in Yehuda, and she ends up with Torah in Yisachar. She gets all the primary roles in Klal Yisrael, all the permanent roles in Klal Yisrael, and Rachel is relegated to what would have been Leah's role, and she has the temporary role. She has Binyamin, she has Yosef, who, as we'll see again tonight, have all the outside, temporary, paving the path kind of roles, which we'll see again in a moment. That was a review of the last two parts. Says the Rosh Hashiva, Yosef is the son of Rachel. Rachel is now playing the role, not of that primary wife of Yaakov. Yosef is now in that role of on the outside. And the Rosh Hashiva sees in this medrash that we started with this idea. Where does Yosef say what would seem to be a completely extraneous detail that's irrelevant? Where are they bundling the sheaves? B'toich hasadeh. Can you have read this pasuk without that, and would you have noticed anything missing? Yosef would have said, "Hinei anachnu ma'almim alumim, v'hinei kama." Where are they? Who cares where they are? Yosef says, "We were in the middle of the field. Who's the field? That's the Esav's job, the ish hasadah that Yaakov took." Yosef says, "We're in the field when all of this is taking place, and out here." Who's king out here? Who's in the center? Who knows how to manage out here in the field? It's me. What are we doing out here? The Medrash says we're being kones peros. We're bringing in fruits. I mean bringing in fruits. Where are you bringing it into? You're bringing it inside. Everything that goes out outside isn't intrinsic unto itself. It's for the sake of supporting that which goes on inside. Yosef says, this is my job. What I do out here, it stays. It's kayem. It works. It maintains itself. When you guys try to do this out here, it rots. This is my area. We're betoch hasadeh. You're going to have your place, but betoch hasadeh is mine. I want to show you, as Rosh Hashiva does, where we see this in Yosef. This particular role. The Torah describes it in the beginning of at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Vayhi kol nefesh yotze, source number 2. Vayhi kol nefesh yotze yerech Yaakov shivim. Nefesh, the Torah described that everybody down in Mitzrayim were 70 souls who came down from the house of Yaakov. VeYosef hayob b'Mitzrayim. And Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Rashi points out, we know that already. Yosef had a couple of parshas about him already. This is the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Of course Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, Allahu vanav hayo b'chalal shivim. He and his children were included in the count of 70. Mabal olam deinu. V'chilo ayinu yodim shu hayo b'mitzrayim. Rashi says, Ela says Rashi lohodiach tzidkoso shel Yosef. This is to teach us the righteousness of Yosef. Hu Yosef haroya es tzon aviv, the same Yosef who shepherded his father's flock. Hu Yosef shehoya b'mitzrayim, v'nasa melech v'omid b'tzidko. The same Yosef who ends up in Mitzrayim, king of everything, and is still omid b'tzidko. In the same state of righteousness. We would add, Hu Yosef beves Potiphar, Hu Yosef beves HaAsurin. The same Yosef who's in his father's home is the same Yosef who can be in jail, who can be in Potiphar's house, who can be in the palace. Whose koach is that? That's Yosef's ability to be out there. And that when he's out there, it's as if he's still in there. That's a kayach. Not everybody can do that. And you talk about in the world of Kirov. Some people say, if I go to the college campuses, I'm finished. I can't. And others can. It's just a koach. Some people, it's a koach of Yosef to be omed b'tzidko, not just in his father's house, but Yosef is the one who does that. Yosef is the one who's out there. And when Yaakov is afraid of going down to Mitzrayim on his first trip in 2 weeks parsha from now, in source number 3, and Yisrael starts heading down, he stops in Be'er Sheva, he brings the Zevach, and Hashem says to him, Ba'oso HaLaila, Pasuk Gimel, Al tiro meir don Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid. Yaakov was obviously very afraid of going to Mitzrayim. Yaakov is the Avodas Prim. Yaakov is in the Beis HaMedrash. Yaakov is about to leave Eretz Yisrael and go into Golus. He's going to go into Mitzrayim, the heart, the seat of everything. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't worry. Anochi eiradim cha Mitzrayim. Anochi, I'll take you down, I'll bring you up. V'yosef yoshis yodo aleinecha. Yosef is going to be the one who's going to cover your eyes. He will place his hand on your eyes. Simple pashup shot is, he'll outlive you. He'll be there to close your eyes when you die. But who's the one who's going to comfort Yaakov and Galus? The Rebbe Shem doesn't say, hey Yaakov, you're traveling with Reuven and Levi and Yehuda and Yisrael. No. He says, Yosef's there. You don't have to worry. Yosef will be the cover of your eyes, the eyes which gives us what to see, what to do, how to perceive our right from our left. Yosef is there, and he's going to be the one who is going to help us. He's the first one down to Mitzrayim. He's the first one who brings his father down. He's the one who sets up his brothers in Goshen. He's the one who teaches us how to live in Golus. It's going to be his descendant, Yehoshua, who's going to be the one to enter into Eretz Yisrael and begin its conquest. It's going to be in Shiloh. It's going to be in his chelek of Yosef that we're going to build the first Mishkan, which is referred to in Tehillim as Ohel Yosef. That is the descendant of Yosef, the Koach, to be out there, the Koach to be Mashiach ben Yosef, who's going to be the one who's going to pave the way for the permanence of Mashiach ben David. But the Koach of being out betoch hasadeh, the one who's going to work the world, who's going to be out there in the exile, the one who's going to set the path, take from the world what we need, that is the Koach of a Yosef. One last source on that. Source 4, Vayikasher Yoldo, Rachel is Yosef. This is going back to last week's parsha, or 2 weeks ago, actually. When Rachel gives birth to Yosef, then Yaakov says to his 4 wives and his 11 children, it's time to go home and fight Esav. Gemara asks, "My shnuki is Yoldo Yosef?" The Torah makes it seem right after Yosef was born, Yaakov says, let's go home and take on Yosef. Why Yosef? I'm sure whatever I said, whatever you said, I should have said is for sure what I meant to say. says the Gemara, Ra'a Yaakov Avinu she'ein zaro shel Esav nimsar el biad zaro shel Yosef. Who's going to be the one to take on Esav? Who's going to be the one to take command? Who's going to fight him? Only the Zera of Yosef. As the Pasuk in Avadia says, Eibes Yaakov Eish, Uves Yosef, Lahava Yaakov is going to be fire, and Yosef is going to be the spark or the flame, and Beis Esav will be for straw, Lakash. But it's only Yosef who's going to be he's the one who's going to go out. He's the one who's going to lead us in battle to take on an Esav. Okay, that's the Koach of... Yeah?
I thought it was Binyamin.
Binyamin was never bowed down. That's why the Beis HaMikdash can be in his chelek. Yeah, but the one who's going to take on Esav, the Medrash says, is going to be Yosef.
So that's Mashiach?
I don't know if that's Mashiach ben Yosef, whether or not that's a reference to Mashiach ben Yosef. This character, the representation, the Koach of Yosef, is the Koach of conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the first Beis HaMikdash, the first Mishkan leading into the permanence of Mashiach ben David, the first one to go down to Mitzrayim. That ability to be out there, not inside the home of a Yaakov Avinu, is the Koach of a Yosef. We see this in the essence the first time we're introduced to Yosef. First time introduced to Yosef in Source 5. Elo told us Yaakov at the beginning of this week's parasha. Yosef ben Shvos Reshanah Yaroyes Echav Batzon. He's 17 years old. Vehu Na'ar. Esbenei Vilhav, Esbenei Zilpa. He was a lad. He was a youngster. He acted childishly with Bnei Vilhav and Zilpa. And he brought Esdi Basam Rolav. He spoke negatively about his brothers to his father. What does it mean, Hu Na'ar? So the famous Rashi says, Hu Osa Maisen Naros. He used to behave in a childish way. Misakin Bisaro, he'd always be fixing his hair, Mimashmish Be'enov, playing with his eyes, Kideshi Nire Yofe, that he should look beautiful. Now Yosef, I believe, when he's described at the end of Sefer Bereishis as a Yefe Toar Vife Mare, when he goes to Eishes Potiphar, I believe is the only man in the Torah described as a Yefe Toar Vife Mare. Many women are described as a beautiful form and beautiful figure, but Yosef is beautiful. Played with his hair, played with his eyes. So beauty is an interesting thing. Beauty is a bitui chitzoni. It's an outward expression of an inner power, an inner ruchnius. It could be misused. But you see, there are beautiful people, there are beautiful things. And Yosef displayed that. And this is where the brothers make a mistake in understanding Yosef. And this is not the Rosh Hashiva's explanation of it. This is my understanding of his explanation. So I just, if the mashal is not good, this one is mine. Imagine, take any multi-billionaire today who made his business in some venture that has nothing to do with algebra or world history. And this kid, he's just got a lot of energy bouncing out of his seat. So we look at him as an adult out there in the world, wheeling and dealing, all this kinds of stuff, and you just see his energy and his power, and you say, that's why he's so successful. But if you could rewind the clock to when he was in fifth grade, oh boy, that's like the disaster child in the classroom. Can't sit still for a second, up and down. And you say, why is this failing? Because this child has tremendous strengths, potential. He's going to be a powerhouse. But his strengths don't fit in a classroom and in a seat. And we're forcing somebody who's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. But we have this system called school. And so you have a kid who's a tremendous potential, but has no expression of it in, sit down for 8 hours a day and do your math problems. It doesn't work. So you would look at that child and you would say, problem. This is a problem. I'm trying to teach a class, and this child doesn't fit. Now, intrinsically, the child's not a problem. The child's just not in an environment yet where he can express all of his kochos. If Yosef is the koach of chutz, he is going to lead Klal Yisrael into galus. He is going to be the power to be in a Mitzrayim, to be the same Yosef who was in his father's house, who was the same Yosef shepherding the flock, the same Yosef who's going to be in Ashes Potiphar's grasp, in jail, in the palace. That's a koach. What's that koach like when you're still in your father's home in the Beis Medrash and you're 17? It's all wrong, right? So Chazal describe it as, he's a nar. He's playing with his hair. He's playing with his eyes. He's trying to look beautiful. And the brothers see this. And the brothers have a history. They looked at their grandfather, great-grandfather Avraham, who had two children. And what happened to one of those two children, Yishmael? Out. And they looked at their grandfather, Yitzchak, who had two children, Yaakov and Esav. What happened to Esav? Out. And they looked at their father, who at this point now has 12 children, but the youngest is still Binyamin. He hasn't really expressed himself. He's a baby. And the next youngest, Yosef, doesn't fit. Because he's the only child of Rachel. The other one is a baby, still Binyamin. And Rachel's different than the other children. And he doesn't fit the equation. He's a nar. He's not sitting and learning the way that everybody else is. He's playing with his hair. He's doing things. He's clearly a different koach. And the brothers make an assessment that he is out. He's a problem. He's a threat to Klal Yisrael. Because looking at it, he was. This doesn't fit. And they sat down as a Beis Din, and we could again kind of the whole shiur on how that, but they basically sat down. They paskened on him as a rodef, and he deserves to die. He needs to be out. And they sat down and ate bread afterwards, because this was not a malicious, this was for the success of all of Klal Yisrael. Yosef is opting out. He's speaking poorly about us. He's clearly this other different type of koach. But this koach, he's not part of the program, because he's against us. We see he's different, but he's not different and with us, he's different against us. And they decided he needed to be out. So that's where we are. So they decide to get rid of him. What do they buy?
Shoes.
Okay, let's get to the shoes. Let's get to the shoes. We find shoes a couple of places in Tanakh. First time we really find them, of course, is by Moshe. Hashem appears to Moshe in the burning bush, And the first thing he says to him is, you have to take off your shoes. Ki amakom asher ata omed alav adamas kodesh. Where you are standing is a holy place. You cannot have shoes here. Ramban comments, ki niskadesh kol ha'har beredes ha'shchino rosh ha'har. The entire mountain became sanctified. Vine kulo kodesh v'asher benilas ha'sanyata. Wear shoes in a place of kedusha. And he brings a proof. V'chein ha'kohanim lo shimshu b'mikdosh ela yechefim. Kohanim were not allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash with shoes. In the Beis HaMikdash, barefoot. Just kind of Kippur were barefoot, Kohanim were barefoot, Moshe in the place of the Kedusha of the burning bush, barefoot, and we also find in Yehoshua when he gets to Yericho, and Hashem appears to him there, and he says to him, Shal nalacha mi'al raglacha ki amakom asher ata omer alav kodesh. You can't wear shoes in a place of sanctity. Why not? This is something we all know right away. You learn Shmos, you take off your shoes, you take off your shoes. Why? Why do you have to take off your shoes when you're in a place of holiness? So this part is the part that I take responsibility for if this is wrong. The Rosh Hashiva answered this a little differently, and I like to share everything that led me to this is his, but this wasn't the exact conclusion that he drew. Every morning make a bracha, asher bracha ta Hashem al-kein ha-melech ha-olam sha'asa li kol tzarki, that you have given me, provided me, everything. On what are we making the bracha that you have provided me with everything? Shoes. That's a strange bracha. You provided me with everything, you gave me shoes. You see that it's in Shulchan Aruch, just to see the source of that. Shulchan Aruch pasens kishalovesh, when you get dressed, yivarech, malbisharmi. Really, the 15 birchas hashachar that we make in the morning were supposed to have been done as we wake up in the morning. And we literally make a bracha for every ability that we have. It would be a different world. It's chaval that we're so weak that we couldn't manage this, because our mornings would be so different if everything we did, you made a bracha in thanks. And not just, oh, I say bracha shachar, like, blah, 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 but literally, like, as you opened up your eyes, it would be a different morning. You wouldn't need coffee, I'm sure. Okay, that's pushing it a little bit much, but it's something like that. So, kishalovesh yivarech malvisharum. When you get dressed, you make the bracha malvisharumim. Kishyaniach yodav aleinav. When you put your hands on your eyes and open up your eyes, yivarech pokeach ivrim. I can see. Kishyeshiv. When you sit up in bed, yivarech matir asurim. You release the bound. Kishyzokiv. When you stand up straight, yivarech zokiv kifufim. Kishyaniach raglav bars. When you put your feet down off the bed onto the ground, yivarech rokaha aretz al hamayim. You've given me a solid ground to stand on. Kishinoel mina olav, and when you put on your shoes, yivarech she'asali kol tzarki. You've done everything. For everything else gets a specific bracha. I can see, I can stand, I can sit, I can put my feet down. I put on shoes. You've given me everything. What's the pshat that because you've given me shoes, you've given me everything? So the mafarshim say different things. The one that I saw that spoke to me the most is, if you can imagine simply walking around without shoes, how would you walk if you didn't have shoes? You would walk gingerly, very carefully, and with your eyes down. You'd have to pay attention to what you're doing. If the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us a world and said, V'kivshuha, I want you to conquer this world. I want you to command it. I want you to take every aspect of goodness that I've given you in this world, take it, harness it, make it yours, create, build. I can't do that without shoes. I'm primitive. I'm stuck. I can't walk the ground. I got chips of trees and wood and stones. They hurt, they cut. I can't be a conqueror if I can't look out and not down. I have to be able to look out, not worry where I'm stepping, to be a conqueror. And Hashem said, conquer my world. He told me to. And everything that I have is because I'm a conqueror. Mankind conquers. Mankind is powerful. Mankind can create homes with air conditioning and heating and instant coffee, and I can do whatever I need. And all of that is because I don't have to walk humbly like this, but I look out. And I have the ability to cover my feet with something hard, and you go out there, fight a war without shoes, it's ridiculous. Conquer, create, build. Except in one place. When you're in a place of holiness, then you take those shoes off. Not here. Here you're not a conqueror.
Here you walk with your head down. Here you walk carefully. Here you walk with humility. Here you recognize, this is my world. I gave it to you. I told you to conquer it. But there are places of holiness and of sanctity that you remember, this is my place. And you take your shoes off, of which you make a bracha, sha'asa li kol tzarki. You gave me the ability to do whatever I need. And I make a bracha, I thank you for that, when I go out to conquer the world. And then I get to the Beis HaMikdash, and my shoes come off. I'm in a place of Kedusha, my shoes come off. Here I'm humble. Here I'm tender when I walk. I recognize I don't walk with my chin up, I walk with my chin down. Yosef is the koyach hachutz. Yosef is the koyach of being outside. Yosef is going to take us into Golus. Yosef is going to guide us through the Golus. He's going to be the one to bring us back and conquer Eretz Yisrael through Yehoshua. He is that koyach in Klal Yisrael. And the brothers, all born of Leah, not all of them obviously, see in this child a koach that they need. They see in it the ability to be outside. But he's like young and filled with energy and the ability to go out, and he's in his father's house. And they see him speaking against them. They see him as an Esav who opted out. They said, he clearly has a koyach that we don't have. He's playing with his hair and his eyes. He's a beauty. And he's trying to do... But he's not with us. He's against us. So what do? They get rid of him. And what do they buy? Shoes. They just got rid of the koach who's going to conquer. They just got rid of the koach who's bachutz, who's basode, who's out in the field. And they said, he opted out. Well, what do we need to do now? If he's not in, we need, like Yaakov, our father did, to take over that role. And we need shoes. We need the ability to be out there, which we didn't need before. Chazal aren't saying the brothers physically walked around barefoot. Say they took the money of selling Yosef and they bought shoes. They bought what they needed. Now that they said he opted out, well, we still need that koach. We still need what he's going to bring to the table. Just he doesn't want it. He's v'yavidi basam ra. He's out. So they bought shoes to fulfill, just like their father did, who dressed up as Esav and said, if you don't want it, I'll take it. And they thought they were just reliving that exact same history, which Chazal just so beautifully describes, like, mwah! They bought shoes. That's so geschmack. They bought shoes. Of course they bought shoes. Because they got rid of Yosef. And that was their misunderstanding of what Yosef was. He really was just a nar, 17, in the wrong environment for the expression of who he was, which would later manifest itself through the way that Baal Shem orchestrates events. He gets down to Mitzrayim and he does all the things that he needs to do. But what a beautiful pshat in why Chazal see this was particularly buying shoes, tying up the three weeks of this idea of the Avodas Pnim and the Avodas Chutz. Mamish Geshmak.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.